From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 28th day of October 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. Bruce Bostard will be here from the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company. Gary Schnitke alongside to take a look at cash grain prices and what might make a $50,000 income on a 1,200-acre farm in Illinois next year. And we'll talk about the weather with Steve Hilberg, the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center. Dave Dickey will be here, too, to take a look at the agricultural newscast on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
This stock and commodity report on Illinois Public Media is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal, providing clients with the latest market information based on research by ADM Investor Services and other independent sources. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
In Chicago on this Friday afternoon, futures finished the day mixed with the coarse grains a bit higher and the oil seeds lower. Soft red winter wheat on the day finished the December contract at $6.44 and a half, up a half. July, the harvest month, at $7.19 in Chicago, 0.75 cents higher. The hard red in Kansas City at $7.71 for the July, up 0.25 cents for the day. December corn futures, $6.55, 3.5 higher. March at $6.67, up 3.5 cents. May corn futures, 673 and a quarter, up 4.5. July at 677 and a quarter, 5.5 cents higher. September at 634 and a half, up 2 and a quarter. And December corn of next year, $6.16, up 2 and 3 quarters. And then we turn to the red. November beans, $12.17, down 18 for the day. January, $12.26, 18 cents lower. March at $12.35 and 3 quarters, down 17 and 3 quarters. The May at $12.44 and 3 quarters, 17 and a quarter lower. July beans, $12.54, down 17, and next year's November at $12.36 and a half, down 14 and a half cents. December bean meal at $3.17.50, $6 lower. December soybean oil at $51.77, down 34 cents on the afternoon. The live cattle futures finished the October at $120.95, up 20 cents. December at $119 and a nickel, down 85 cents. November feeder cattle at $141.10, 47 and a half cents lower. The January futures at $145.60 in the feeder cattle, down 35 cents. And December lean hogs on the day for 100 pounds, $86.67 and a half, up 2 and a half. February's up 22 and a half at $89.90. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. December crude oil futures, $93.33 a barrel, down 63 cents. Ethanol at $2.75 and 3 tenths, that's a penny and 8 tenths higher. Natural gas at $3.92 and a tenth, 15 and 7 tenths of a cent higher. Heating oil at $3.09 and 9 tenths, down 3 and 8 tenths of a cent. And the gold futures for the day, down 50 cents at $1,746.20 an ounce. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 12,204, just about 4 points higher, and the dollar at 75.07, up 0.19 for the day. The CRB index down 1.2 at 323.07. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for Urbana-Champaign. Yep, this afternoon, mostly sunny skies, although it looks pretty gray. Maybe I've got something for, no, this is for today. High of 55 degrees. West winds at 5 to 7 miles an hour. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low of 34. West-southwest winds at 3 to 7 miles an hour. And then tomorrow, sunny skies, a high of 56 degrees. West-northwest winds at 7 to 11 miles an hour. Saturday night, partly cloudy, a low of 36. Calm winds becoming south-southeast at 5 to 8. Sunday, a 30% chance of showers. Should show us mostly sunny skies, a high of 57. A little bit breezy on Sunday with a southwest wind at 10 to 13 miles an hour. That'll increase during the day to 18 to 21 sustained, and winds gusting all the way to 26 on Sunday. Sunday night, mostly cloudy, a low of 37. Monday, sunny and 56. Monday night, clear and 38. Tuesday, sunny and 61. And Tuesday night, cloudy and 43. Wednesday, a chance of showers, partly sunny, and a high near 58 degrees. Wednesday night, showers, partly cloudy, 39. Thursday, sunny, and a high of 50 degrees. A more complete look at the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Steve Hilberg from the Midwestern Regional Climate Center.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
This is the Closing Market Report. It is a Friday afternoon, and we're always joined by Mike Zuzolo of Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Hello there, Todd.
You know, I want to talk about the Cardinals more than I do the Greece, I have to tell you. I don't talk about sports on the air very often, and I'm not a huge fan, but I am a Cardinal fan.
I'm calling my brother this weekend. I want back my 1970s Lou Brock baseball card that he's got from me.
Oh, my gosh. That takes me back. I had, when he stole those bases, I had tennis shoes.
Oh, yeah.
Lou Brock,
yeah.
Tennis shoes with the number on the side.
You bet.
Of course, I grew up 100 miles from St. Louis, and that's the direction we went. If we were going to game, that's where we headed. But we need to talk about what happened in the marketplace and not the Cardinals, so let's do that. Hey, Greece, finally got taken care of, I guess. I don't know how well they've gotten taken care of, but maybe you can kind of give us your view. You like to take a big, wide overview of that and what happened in Europe this week and how well they did in maybe solving some of their financial woes.
After the bailout details were put out, Todd, it reminded me of what I'm going to do this weekend with the children. That's carve pumpkins, and I feel like this bailout's going to be a lot like the inside of a pumpkin with the muck and the seeds, because essentially what they've done is they've told the banks they've got to recapitalize and build a bunch of extra capital in the next year, but they've also told those same banks that they're going to have to take a 50% hit on Greece debt. And so what kind of a lending and what kind of a fiscal financial environment is that going to breed in the next 12 months over in Europe? And I think two things come out of it is it's very dollar supportive. It makes the dollar look even better. And one of my favorite economists, Ken Rogoff, was doing a summit with Bloomberg yesterday, and he said, it's pretty darn clear the euro does not work, that it's not a stable equilibrium. And that's kind of the stuff I'm talking about, is that in the big picture, this European debt settlement does not work, I don't think, economically and financially. So take that off the table and say, well, then why did the markets rally? Well, I think there were a couple, three things. I think the talk of quantitative easing by the U.S. Federal Reserve was a big element to what happened on Thursday. I think also, and probably more importantly, is the number one buyer of the new bailout is going to probably be China. So they're going to other countries, Europe is, they're going to other countries to try and get them to buy into their new bailout fund or their greater leveraged bailout fund. Japan has also said they're going to come in and buy, too. But I think these are the things that allowed the market to rally. It was more of a China talking about stimulating their economy, the Fed talking about quantitative easing, and the Europeans did go to China for some help on the bailout. And those were the things that really did it. But Fitch came out today and said a 50% write-down in Greek debt would equal a default, in its opinion. And the French came out later in the day and said their 2012 GDP is looking at 1%. What kind of unemployment? They have an unemployment level that I think is higher than us right now. I think it's over 10% in France right now. So I think when you add all these things together, maybe it justifies the S&P 500 going higher. Maybe it justifies the financial markets going higher for a short-term move because it is dollar-friendly and it's U.S. assets-friendly. But I would say this weak dollar is not going to last very long.
You're right. So when you talk about the market in this thing, you're talking about the financial markets,
right,
the Dow and those sorts of things, the S&P.
Correct.
But let's put it in perspective to commodity markets and maybe longer term. And I'm wondering if you have a stronger dollar, which generally means fewer exports out of the United States of commodities like corn, soybeans, and wheat, and you also have quantitative easing, which means probably more dollars coming into the U.S. market, so you have a strong dollar and more dollars. That doesn't sound all that good to me, but maybe you can explain to me what that means.
Well, I think short-term it sounds good for the funds. I mean, I think that's where more quantitative easing, more money, more inflation, more money supply, that's all friendly short-term for the financial markets and the funds. I guess what I'm getting at is who's going to clean up the party, who's going to clean up the mess when the party's over, and I think that brings up another issue that I've told the clients and the subscribers. I'm working on another special report about specifically what happens if the U.S. economy does come back around and start to shape up nicely. Well, here again, I think the Fed will be very eager to start raising rates and sop up and clean up that excess liquidity. Here again, that's dollar friendly.
Right.
And so I think that's where you have a window here, I think, based upon what happened in Europe and what's going on with these U.S. economic reports that we've seen the last week or two, they're getting better. There's no question about that. We seem to be leveling off here in the United States, and that would suggest that's why we had the best month in, I think, something like 4 years in the financial markets in the month of October. We came off some pretty ugly levels at the end of September, but be that as it may, we still had a great month in October, and I think this is why. And again, why is the gold sitting up there near its six-month high? I think it goes back to because we've got that excess liquidity and that inflation still being priced in by the financial markets. So it's a healthy environment for risk-taking right now if no new shocks come out of Europe. And that's a big if, but it's a healthy environment for risk-taking in the short term.
Okay, and then turn your attention to the commodity markets in general. Corn was up on the week. Beans, while having a rough day today, finished the week higher as well. The nearby only up 4 3/4, but November of 12, up 27 3/4. That closed a gap pretty sharply, I mean, between this year's and next year's crop.
Yeah, I think this week was a nice building block week. We need carry through and follow through next week. We need good demand. We need good export demand next week. I also noticed that one of the things that hit the beans, especially today, I thought, was the fact they're going into first notice day. 200 to 500 contracts are expected to be delivered on Sunday, Monday, and I think that really hit the beans. There's also some talk about South American weather getting better and increasing acres there. I think that's probably been priced in throughout the course of the week, however. So I think, to me, you know, what we talked about a commodity week last week, I'm still in the camp that beans are more undervalued than the corn or wheat. I think what changed the market schematic today especially was the shift in the GFS model. The very back end of the model gave a lot of rain for the Midwest and a lot of rain for the Southern Plains. I think that really built the corn bulls up a little bit more as we got later in the day because of harvest delays, and it probably caused the Kansas City wheat to fall flat on its face. It was down almost a dime until about a half an hour before the close when it recovered. But I think the weather really came in at the last part of the day and caused some spread trading to take place. But if I take a step back and look at the week in its totality, and I look at Bloomington, Illinois' basis, it jumped 21 cents today for beans going out a month. I think there's still some good cash-related support underneath the bean market, and I hope we get that cash-related support in the form of exports next week.
Cash-related demand still good for corn?
Fair to medium. And that's one of the things that's changed in some of the conversations I've had in Chicago. Domestic demand's really good. I got a call from a guy south of Fort Wayne, Indiana, yesterday. He said, can I sell some corn for $7? One of the ethanol guys is paying 50 over. I said, yes, let some go. The domestic demand seems very stout still, Todd, but I think that export demand, Chicago conversations, very disappointed with no buying and a lack of follow-through buying from Asia. The big thing that hit the markets this week for corn and the export demand, too, was that, of all places, Ukraine was selling corn to Japan, our big buyer, and Taiwan, another big buyer. I don't think the corn traders like that at all.
Yeah, didn't like it. But was that all that unexpected? I mean, in the grand scheme of things, given what Ukraine has done and what they've been looking to and how businesses have been moving into that area and providing them with seed and genetics, and they have a Mississippi River for all intensive purposes right in the center of their nation.
No, you're right, but I think you combine that Ukrainian business with the fact that the export sales for corn were down 74% from the four-week average, and I don't think the traders swallowed that very well at
right.
all. Yeah.
Well, turn your attention to the wheat market. Tell me about that and whether it will lead or fail.
I think it's going to lead, and it's probably going to be Chicago that does it. That Chicago tends to be the favorite of the funds when they decide to buy. And I've also had a lot of conversations in Ohio this week because we came in Monday with only 55% planted in wheat over there. They have not done much at all based upon the conversations I've had, and they're ready to take preventive planting next week because it's not looking that much better come this next couple weeks because they've had 3 to 4 inches of rain in some locations the next 5 or 6 days. So I'm looking at maybe the spreading to shift where the trade wants to buy Chicago because of the preventive planting issues. If the rains come to the Southern Plains, maybe they unwind that short Chicago, long KC spread. So that's something to watch out for next week.
So you would think soft bread might head up and add a pull corn with it too?
Exactly. Yeah, I think the short-term weather and the short-term, if we can just get demand on our side, and keep in mind, once Kansas City goes into dormancy, which will probably be in the not-too-distant future, the market tends to not want to rally until we get closer to breaking in dormancy. So we kind of take a lull and the market shifts its weather down to South America. So I think the time's probably running out for KC to keep leading us. We need the Chicago to come back in, I think.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd. Have a good weekend.
You too. Mike Zuzulo is with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. He's in Lafayette, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Friday afternoon. Hey, don't forget to visit our website at willag.org. That's willag.org this evening at about 6 o'clock. We'll post our Commodity Week program. The guest this week, Michael Cordonnier. Of course, we'll talk about the South American soybean crop. Dave Dickey will be here in a moment with a look at today's agricultural news.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
In agricultural news, opponents of Monsanto's new genetically modified sweet corn are petitioning national food retailers and processors to ban the biotech corn. A coalition of health, food safety, and environmental organizations say they have collected more than 264,000 petition signatures from consumers who do not want to buy the corn. The coalition includes the Center for Environmental Health, the Center for Food Safety, and Food and Water Watch. It says it is pressing 10 of the top national retail grocery stores to ban the corn, including Walmart, Kroger, and Safeway. It is also asking top canned and frozen corn processors, including Bird's Eye and Del Monte, to ban the modified corn. Monsanto said in August it was preparing to launch a genetically altered sweet corn that marks Monsanto's first commercial combination of its biotechnology with a consumer-oriented vegetable product. The sweet corn seed has been genetically altered to tolerate treatment of Monsanto's Roundup herbicide and to fight off insects that might attack the plants. The International Grains Council says that world corn production is expected to rise 3.5% from last season to a record 855 million metric tons in 2011-12. That's 10 million metric tons higher than its previous estimate. Output from Europe is pegged at 63.8 million tons, above its previous record of 3 years ago, and up 8 million tons from 2010-11. China is expected to produce 183 million tons. That's 3 million tons more than predicted in September, while crops in South American producers Brazil and Argentina are both seen higher at 27 million and 60 million tons, respectively. Prospects for the world's wheat crop are improving, too, with the IGC saying that output now is expected to hit 684 million tons, up 5 million tons from its previous forecast, and boosting carryover stocks to a 10-year high of 202 million tons. The Commerce Department today says that U.S. consumer spending rose 0.6% in September after an unrevised 0.2% gain in August. Spending accounts for about 70% of U.S. economic activity. A core inflation measure, which strips out food and energy costs, was flat last month after increasing 0.2% in August. In the 12 months through September, core PCE rose 1.6% after increasing 1.7% in August. The Federal Reserve would like this measure close to 2%. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report in Commodity Week. That second program will record at 4:30 this afternoon. Our guest, Michael Cordonnier, will talk about South America and the soybean production that is being put into the ground right now. Commodity Week, it's our weekly look at what happened in the world of agricultural markets. You can find it on our website at willag.org by about 6 o'clock this evening. Now up next, the ag economist at Illinois wondered just what would happen if the price of corn next year dropped to $3.70 a bushel. So they pushed the pencil, or more likely, the Excel spreadsheet. Really, what the Ag Economist decided to do was to backfigure just what commodity prices it would take on a 1,200-acre grain farm to produce a $50,000 net income. Gary Schnitke worked the numbers.
What we found, and this is this farm had 15% acres owned, 45% share rented, and 40% cash rented. So it has a lot of owned and share rented acres. It would have to have a 370 corn price and an 851 soybean price to make $50,000.
Well, that 50 grand income isn't arbitrary. It's an income corresponding to the late 1990s in Illinois. Today, it is what the farm management specialist calls a hold your own number.
So we're just trying to see, you know, if bad things happened, how, or, you know, we got down there, what prices would cause that. And it's 370 corn, which isn't likely to happen next year, but it could happen in several years after, if we have a couple bad crops or good crops. We could very easily see corn prices below 370 and bean prices be below 851.
Given that, the outlook for next year is much brighter than 370 corn.
Yep. Right now we're looking at, you know, high $5 corn prices, probably close to $13 soybean price. So right now you would say 2012 looking like a fairly good year.
By the way, those break-even prices Gary Schnitke quoted move quickly when the cash rented acreage makes up a larger percentage of the farm. For instance, a farm that is 100% cash rented at, say, $200 an acre would have a break-even price for corn of $4.42 a bushel, or 72 cents above the 1,200-acre farm Schnitke used. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/FarmerView.
This is the closing market report. It is a Friday afternoon. On the phone line with us, Bruce Bostard at the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company in Ludlow, Illinois. But Bruce, you operate and manage a bunch more elevators than just there in Ludlow. Tell me about which ones are busy and which ones are not.
Big discrepancy between north and south. We've got a ways to go yet, I'll say, on some of the northern elevators. They're still pretty busy up there. Down here, it's relatively so when we get south of Paxton.
Geographically, was there much of a spread between either the corn or the soybean yields from one end of your coverage area to the other?
Just about twice as good on the north end. Where we had a lot of beans in the 30s, they're having a lot of beans in the 60s. And where we had a lot of 100 to 110 bushel an acre corn on the south end, there's a lot of 185, 95, and a few poking their heads up north of 200 bushel an acre up there. So, yeah, twice as good on the north end.
Any distinct basis changes in the last week?
Relatively quiet. I mean, we're still hanging in here with some tremendous basis levels with one over the Dease on nearby corn. Beans, improvement there, 15 under versus 20, so we picked up a nickel on the nearby beans.
And your bids for the day?
We are at 656 nearby and 1202.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Bruce Bostard is with the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company. He's out of Ludlow, Illinois, joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Friday afternoon. For some of you, we'll say goodbye now. For the rest of you, back in a couple of minutes with the agricultural weather forecast.
It's National Chocolate Day. It's also Feast of Simon the Apostle, patron of sawmen and tanners. On this day in agricultural history in 1793, Eli Whitney applied for a patent for his cotton gin. Long staple cotton, which was easy to separate from its seeds, could only be grown along the coast. But one variety that grew inland had sticky green seeds that were time-consuming to pick out of the fluffy white cotton balls. Whitney solved the problem, but he charged farmers a fee for the ginning, 2/5 of the profits paid in cotton. That exorbitant rate caused planters to come up with their own versions of Whitney's gin and claimed they were new inventions. Whitney sued owners of the pirated versions, but due to a loophole in the wording of the 1793 patent law, he lost. It would be years before a change in patent laws made his claims of piracy enforceable. But by then, it was too late for Whitney to make much money off the device. In 1886, the Statue of Liberty was officially unveiled and dedicated in New York Harbor. And in 1916, Cleveland Abbey died. Abbey was an astronomer and meteorologist and is considered the father of the U.S. Weather Bureau. The Weather Bureau was authorized by Congress in 1870. The Bureau was originally placed under the Secretary of War and later the Department of Agriculture. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Friday afternoon. On the phone line with us for the very last time in his official capacity as the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center is Steve Hilberg. Steve, thank you so much for taking the time today. And I guess you're on your way to retirement at this point.
Yeah, I am. And I tell you, Todd, I've enjoyed every broadcast we've done and happy to have been able to do this for the last 13 years.
It seems to me that we started about 1998 with this version of what you've been up to with WILL, our local and public radio station here on campus. And the affiliates may not have heard you, but they probably heard you on other stations as well, because about the same time you and I started doing some things to feed your voice out to commercial radio stations across the state of Illinois.
Yep, it's been an interesting career so far.
And you've been at the local radio station here in Urbana-Champaign much longer than since 1998, way back, right?
Yep, I actually got started back in 1974 when Dan Simeone was doing a morning program and started the weather then, and ultimately that's what led to guys like Ed Kieser taking over and doing weather on the station.
No, it's been a fantastic run. Thank you so much for all the time that you have spent with us and for all the volunteer hours. It's made a big difference, and I can't tell you how much the audience appreciates what you do.
It's been a pleasure, Todd.
And tell me about one last time what the forecast looks like for Illinois and the Midwest.
Well, we're actually seeing a lot of clouds now over the Midwest. We got some cold air aloft. We had some chilly temperatures this morning, definitely below freezing, a lot of frost, and seeing some very light showers popping up. Most of them appear to be right now along I-57, maybe some back up toward Bloomington and that, but there's just going to be some light showers this afternoon and early this evening. They'll dissipate around sunset. And after that, it looks like we're in for a pretty nice weekend. Temperatures should gradually be warming up by Sunday. Monday, which is Halloween, and the kids will be out trick-or-treating. Looks like a fairly good day. Really, the next big weather producer looks to be maybe next Wednesday or Thursday when a strong cold front will move through, and that could bring some substantial rain to central Illinois if things pan out.
I know it hurts you a bit, but what's the weather forecast for this evening in St. Louis?
Hey, that was a great game last night.
Oh, my gosh,
I can't complain about that too much.
You betcha.
Right now, it looks like weather should be pretty good there in St. Louis. They're really north of most of this cold air aloft that's causing the shower, so I don't think we'll see any problems there. It will be a cool night again, and probably not as cold as last night, but it should be a pretty good night for late October baseball.
All right. Thank you so much. And again, thank you so much for the time and the effort, and we sure do hope you enjoy your retirement.
Okay, Todd. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Steve Hilberg on his last broadcast with us because he's headed into retirement, I think, starting next Monday. We thank him and appreciate all that he has done for Illinois Public Media and WILLAG.org, along with University of Illinois Extension. Steve's been a staple for 13 years on these programs, and we thank him for everything that he's managed to volunteer for us. That wraps up this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. Be sure to visit our website again at willag.org. For Commodity Week, we'll post it by about 6 o'clock this evening. I'm Todd Gleason. You have a great weekend.